As you see on the screen, September 15th is Back to Church Sunday. It's a nationally organized program that reminds people as school starts that it's time to refocus some attention, and we'll be participating in that this year. Would like very much for you to think in terms of who you'd like to bring with you that Sunday. Part of the program notes emphasize the fact that Pew Research Center, in public opinion polls that they've done, find that 82% of people in America say that they would go to church if they were invited. It also says that fewer than 3% report that they've ever been invited to church. Now, I don't know if those statistics are valid. We certainly hope not, but there probably is more truth there than we'd really like to deal with. But bring somebody with you. I know the street is terrible, and that's going to make it hard for September the 15th, but we'd like very much to take advantage of that opportunity. We welcome everyone here today, and as I try to say, if there's some special need that you have, whether you're a member or a visitor, a guest, we'd love to know about that so that we could help address that in some way. I tell Walmart stories. Somebody was hassling me about it the other day, and the reason is I spend so much time there. Went in last Tuesday, and I don't know about the Walmart that you frequent, but when the Walmart that we frequent was first built, there was this wide area in front of the cashier's lanes. Now they've come along and put all these bins in front of it, and so it's kind of really created a kind of a traffic jam there. But when they came in Tuesday, there was this terrible traffic jam, and there really weren't all that many people in the store, just this big blockage down there. So I was concerned maybe something was going on. I wandered down there, and there were two elderly women who were riding in those electric carts that Walmart provides, and they were parked head-to-head with each other. There were two other elderly women who had carts, and they had pulled the carts in beside the two electric contraptions, and they were praying. They were holding hands and praying in Walmart. And the responses were very interesting, probably as interesting as what was going on. There were people who were frustrated by the fact that they couldn't get around. There were a lot of other people who were touched by it, and a lot of people who appreciated it, and a lot of people even who knew some of the people who were participating there. This morning, we're going to, as we move toward the conclusion, there's this section and then one more section of Scripture from the book of James. We'll start in verse 13 of chapter 5. Go down through verse 18, excuse me. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Whenever you talk about prayer, the temptation is to just go off in so many different tangents because there's so much information and this is such a broad topic. And so I'm trying very much this morning to stay right inside this verse, but focus on the idea of how much we literally do need prayer in our lives. It's an old story of a shrimp boat, some kind of boat like that, a working boat. It's in a major kind of a storm, and it's pretty clear to the captain that the ship is going down. And so as he gathers the small crew together, he says, is there anybody here who's a praying man? And this guy says, I am. I'm a praying man. He said, good. I need you to pray your way through this because we're one life jacket short. Well, that's kind of where the rubber meets the road. You know, it's easy to say, yeah, I'm a praying man. I'm a praying person. But then when the reality of life kind of hits us, do we really use prayer as the resource that we claim it to be? And this morning, I'm certainly going to try to come from that particular angle. As I look at this verse, I see three things that jump out at me. The first of all is the connection to faith. You see that in the early sections there. There's prayer and there's faith. And sometimes if you go to a prominent type of religious situation or religious occasion, you would have people praying for various kinds of things. And if those things don't happen, the answer is, well, you didn't have enough faith. And I think people get kind of overwhelmed by that. Sometimes that may be true. Sometimes people put God to the test and see if he will respond and find out how much of they're going to actually believe. But I don't think that's necessarily what James is talking about primarily as he writes this passage. This is not, as we mentioned recently, this is not a good situation. He knows what's going to happen to these folks. And he knows what they have yet to face. And so faith for those of us who are Christians becomes in very strong way about how much faith do we have in God's wisdom? How much faith do we have in God's plan? Lord, I need for you to do this. And God says, but what about the plans that I have? Mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the Romans coming to Jerusalem. When you think about the establishment of the church, just think about it in practical terms for just a minute. There is 40 years, basically, between Pentecost and the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, during that period of time, there has to be the establishment of the church, and there has to be the establishment of a center that outreach is going to come from. There has to be movement out of the original area into other places because the center's going away. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with mission work and various approaches that go there. How many churches are prepared in 40 years to even continue to exist, much less to impact history? And so every single prayer, every single individual prayer that's prayed during that period of time is impacted by God's timeline for the destruction of Jerusalem. Lord, I need you to do this. Lord, I want that. I need for this to happen in my family. And God in his wisdom is saying, I will address your needs. You don't understand, though, that I'm playing with a different plan than you can see. And as we look at that, we are hopefully given some reassurance about the fact there are multiple plans going on. Every single one of us has a different plan in mind. And all of those plans at some point in time have to be submissive to God's master plan in order for him to accomplish the things that he has in mind. I think it's interesting, sometimes you'll see a television program where they're doing some prayer research. You know, we've done this particular research and that particular research, and this particular group who was prayed over has done better than that particular group. And generally, that's usually positive. At the same time, how could you ever control all the factors? And one of those things that's so interesting is it says the prayer of a righteous person avails much. Who's doing the praying? Going to have a lot of different impact there. A few weeks back, when we talked about resistance, and I mentioned in that context about proactive and reactive, and active and passive. And people mentioned afterwards about prayer. Is prayer proactive or reactive? I think the honest truth is, if we look at prayer from God's perspective, it ought to be proactive. But as we look at the reality of prayer, I'm afraid that more often than not, it's reactive. And we've all heard people say that, well, there's nothing left to do now but pray. That's the reactive prayer. We've tried everything we know how to do, so let's turn it over to God. God doesn't intend for us to move that particular way. It's also frequently a very, very passive thing. We live in the call somebody age. If you're worried about something or you feel a need out there, what do? Well, you call somebody. And after you call that person, you mark it off your list. Okay, I've done that. And we, in a prayerful way, can make God into that individual. Lord, I pointed out to you that family down the street that's having such a hard time. I know that you'll take care of them. And I think that at that moment, if we could hear what God is saying back to us, he'd say, I'm so glad you noticed them, and this is what I need for you to do. But we want the passive prayer. You know, if we really had an active prayer, it would be very different. Our prayer would be, Lord, what can I do to help? Lord, would you help me to have the resources so that I can meet that need? Would you help me to address that person in a way that they will understand my heart? Would you help me approach this situation in a way that would continue to uphold dignity and self-respect? Those are the active prayers that would be coming through our lips and coming through our minds, rather than, okay, I've told you about it. Now I hope somebody will do something. If we respond as Christians, if we're looking around saying, yeah, God, we're going to need help with this, help me to help them, then we can make prayer very proactive and we can make it very active. But we have the choice of how that's actually going to be done. Let me share with you a couple of quick passages. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says simply, in connection with faith and prayer, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Because we have faith, we can go to the throne of God and we're free to ask anything and we're confident about God's willingness to listen. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. The second thing that jumps out at me from this passage is the connection between prayer and confession. It's a couple of different things you can see there. Number one is we have to be honest about what's going on in our life. And that begins with the very first thing we say in our prayer typically. Many of you, and I know this from private conversations, use that ACTS acronym. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And it really is a good model and can be quite useful. But it begins with us praising God. And the second thing it's included there is a confession of the fact that we don't deserve anything that we're asking for. We're being very honest about the weakness in our own lives. But if you look at the passage, it's talking about our relationships with each other. So what does confession have to do with prayer? I like prayer requests. I like the fact that we do the request on the cards, and that certainly is a useful and beneficial thing. But much more powerful than that even are the requests that we make in small groups. And that's one of the beauties of purpose groups and other types of small groups. There comes a time when those groups pray together. And one of the things that you get to hear are the concerns of somebody else's heart. Or maybe something that they're battling with. Maybe something that they're losing a battle with. They're asking, they're reaching out, they're groping, they're asking for you to pray for them and with them or because of them. And we get to know each other and we build and we connect on prayer and the things that are important for us to pray about. Psalms chapter 32, verses 3 and 5. I think most of us can identify with this passage. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And certainly we can be reminded of that when you go outside in the afternoons these days. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. And then Acts chapter 3 reminds us, repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. And then I love this last part, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. When you give it all up, is when you feel turned loose from it. You can actually empty it out. You can actually lay it down. You can actually leave it behind you. And I'm afraid that what we often try to do is we only try to confess the parts that other people know. You know that I have this problem, and so I'll be honest about it. And in the back of our minds, we're thinking, boy, I sure hope they don't find out about the rest. Because they wouldn't like me anymore. They wouldn't love me anymore. They wouldn't care about me anymore. They wouldn't respect me anymore. And yet the reality is, when we see people in transparency, we have a tendency to have stronger feelings about them. Satan is our blackmailer. He's constantly saying, you don't want this to get out. You don't want this to get out. If anybody finds this out. And yet we find that when those things do come out, we're set free. We don't have to worry about that anymore. We don't have to fight about that anymore. We don't have to constantly be paying an outpayment to Satan so that we can hold on to that any longer. Confession frees us of that. And when we confess with each other, we create accountability. We create community. We create opportunities where we can really get next to prayer. The third thing quickly is prayer and experience. That's the reason the Elijah passage is there at the end. Because James wants to remind them that real people have had these prayer experiences. Now you could go to Elijah and they go, well, Elijah is a prophet. Well, what is a prophet? Prophet is somebody who speaks for God. Any of you a prophet? We all have opportunities to be prophets. There are all times when if we're doing what God wants us to do, that we're speaking for God. We have that opportunity. And so we can't just say, well, he was a special guy. He's a mythical character. No, he's not. He's a real person. Over there on that wall are notes written from real people about prayers that have been answered. And I got to thinking about that as I was putting the lesson together. Is there anybody here who's never had an answered prayer? Now, you could say, well, I wanted this and God didn't do it. And those are the things we have a tendency to focus on. The things that we thought should have been answered, yes, that weren't. The reality is, when we look back on our prayer experience, we can many times create long lists of our answered prayer. And that's exactly what James is doing with these people, saying, go back and see how God answers prayer. You see it in your history with someone like Elijah, but you can see it in your own life, your own experience as well. If we're faithful, if we're honest, if we remember our prayer history, then we can understand that God's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of them, even though their situation is going to be pretty desperate. He does everything for us. And then he whispers to us, you walk by faith and not by sight. And all of those things come kind of rushing home to us. I'll share with you one final story. I've told this story before, but I want to share with it again. I have a good friend who's a minister. There was a teenage girl in his congregation who was rushed to the hospital one weekend, and he didn't know about it until he got to church on Sunday morning, and the girl's mother was there, and he said, why didn't you call me? And she said, well, I called you when Dad got sick, and I called you when Mom got sick, and I called you when Uncle Bill got sick, and they all died. And she was making the inference that this guy was the wrong guy to have praying for. We look at this passage, and sometimes we use this passage to create some things that are really negative. You know, if you ask somebody to pray for you and it doesn't come out the way you wanted it to, then that must not have been a righteous person. Or we look at this group, or we look at that group, and we start to draw conclusions, or we come to some decisions that are a part of this prayer cycle. The reality is, I think what James is saying here is, it's about faith. It's about how much you let go, and it's about your own experience. And if you really want to be a praying person, those are the aspects that need to be emphasized. This morning we'll extend God's invitation. It's not a man-made invitation, it's God's invitation. And if there's something between you and God that needs to be dealt with today, it may need to be dealt with personally. And if so, we encourage you to do that. If there's something that you need some assistance with, we'd love to have that opportunity. And we ask you to make that known while we sing this song together.
My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you. Take control. I give my body a living sacrifice, Lord. Take control, take control. My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you. Take control. I give my body a living sacrifice. Lord, take control, take control.
Go ahead and be seated, please.
Tony and Myrna come to the front this morning, and they've written a note I'll share with you. Brothers and sisters of the church, we have sinned. I repent of the sin and ask prayers of the church family, and that notice from both of them. It takes courage to make such a statement. And it also is a time when we reach out and encourage each other, because we all know there are many times in our lives when we could make exactly the same statement. Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, we acknowledge you as the creator and sustainer of this world, and we know that we wouldn't survive at all for even a moment if you didn't take care of us. Father, we recognize our own weaknesses, and we know that in each of our lives there are things that need to be removed. I thank you this morning for the courage of Tony and Myrna, the willingness to move something aside out of their lives. Father, I thank you for their openness and their tenderness, and I pray that, as I know is true, that that is removed. Father, we ask that we could be helpful to them and they to us. Father, we thank you that your Son has paid for forgiveness. We thank you for his blood that washes away sin. We pray all of this through him. Amen.
Good morning. I'd like to direct your attention to something we don't really look at very often. The booth right back there. There are two people sitting in it right now. I want to make you aware those are two of the four people that we have that are trained to do that work. We need more volunteers to be able to fulfill that need so that we don't have the four people that are trained overburdened with that. So we need as many men as are willing to help to volunteer to help us with this. If you, I know what you're thinking, I don't know how to do that. That's fine. We're going to train you. Promise you, it's not hard, and anybody can learn to do it. So if you are willing, please come and find myself or Tommy Winberry and come talk to us, and we would love to have you help us with that.
We're grateful for your presence today. Thank you for joining us, especially if you're a visitor. We would like to meet you after service, and we encourage you to come back and be with us. I will call your attention to several things in the bulletin. I won't go into detail, but there are some upcoming events that are listed: a singing at Jerry and Becky Durham's on September 6th. There's a Financial Peace University that will start on September the 4th. There are ESL classes that begin September the 19th, And all the details are in the bulletin. You can check those out. There is a bereavement support group that will meet here at the building and starts Tuesday night, August the 20th. So be sure and check that. That starts very soon. There are some items in the freezers and the refrigerators in the kitchen that are unmarked, and they've kind of shown up, and no one knows who they belong to or what they're for. So if you have something in the freezer, just be it noted that the freezer will be cleaned out in 2 weeks of unmarked food. There is also 12 pounds of sausage in the freezer that nobody knows where it came from. That will be used for Meals on Wheels if somebody doesn't claim that. So if you have occasion to put something in the fridge or the freezer, just make sure you put your name on it so people will know where it came from. I will mention also quickly that volunteers are needed to help prepare the communion for Sunday mornings on a monthly rotation. And if you can help with that, see David Marshall. Making sure I didn't miss anything. This is our small group Sunday. A couple of our small groups are not meeting, but the rest of them are. So we encourage you to be part of our small group meetings. Details are in the bulletin. If you have any questions, you can see any of the elders, and we'll be glad to help you with that.
Okay, we have these prayer requests that have been turned in. Rhett Poindexter wants us to remember Ruby, his daughter. She has a cyst that's causing a lot of stomach pain. Brenda Asher, thank you for your prayers. My cataract surgery went well, and so far the recovery has been good. I got my right eye done on the 26th. I get my right eye done on the 26th. Please pray for Adam. He'll be flying out of the country tomorrow for work and be gone 2 weeks. Please pray for a safe, successful trip. Carol Ann Snyder wants us to continue to pray for those looking for jobs and for safety for those who are driving on during the year. And Thanksgiving prayer for all the prayers that have been answered, and also thankful that Ruth's family, Cheryl, has got a pacemaker, and that's been helpful for her. And Steve wants us to continue to pray for Jane, who's to get strength back, and also for our nation to seek God's will. Jerry Bowling wants us, and Cindy wants us to pray for an extended family member. Kathy is waiting for a liver transplant that could take place even today. Pray that that'll go well, and pray for Kim as she takes care of Kathy. And then a prayer request that from Mike Marsalis. Brenda, his wife, is in a Valor Rehabilitation Hospital following brain surgery. Things don't look good there, terminal brain cancer. So it's a matter of time, but we need to really pray for Brenda. Mike is here today, and I think a number of us want to get with him today. Brenda's been such a strength for him and for the family, 51 years of marriage, and been such a tremendous Christian lady. And so we want to pray for that family. So let's pray together. Father, we feel unworthy of approaching you in prayer. All of us have sin in our lives, one way or the other. And we are not what we should be oftentimes. And we just thank you that
through the blood of Christ, we can come to you, confess our sins, and know when we repent of that, that you forgive us. And we come, all of us together today, Father, and lift up to you Brenda Marsalis and also Mike in this difficult time in their lives. Father, we're thankful that Brenda has lived a faithful Christian life, that she's been your servant in so many years of supporting Mike in his preaching career. We're thankful, Father, that she gives us such an example of courage in spite of the brain tumor that she's had. And we pray, Father, we don't know how to pray, really. But we do pray, if it's your will, that you perform some kind of a miracle, that can go away, that she can continue to have a long life in your service. But if that's not your will, we just pray that you'll be with Brenda, give her strength, courage during these final hours and days that she has with us. And we pray for Mike that he can give her the kind of assistance and peace and comfort that's needed. We pray for the doctors. We pray for the church here that we'll surround them with our love and our care and let them know how much we love them. Father, we give you the prayer request of Jerry and Cindy Bowling for for Kathy, who is desperately needing a liver transplant. We pray that'll come through quickly, that'll give her extended life. And we pray for Kim, who's also taking care of her, and answer that prayer, Father, if it's your will. Father, we prayed a lot for Jane, and I know that she's struggling with her health, and we just pray that you'll continue to be with her and give her strength and be with Steve as he supports her. And Father, we do pray for our nation right now as we're in the grips of trying to decide on a presidency and Senate and representatives. And we pray your blessing as we evaluate the candidacies and pray that you'll bless this nation in this process, that those selected will give you the honor and respect that you deserve. Father, we lift up to you Ruby Poindexter. She is in a lot of trouble right now with this cyst, and we just pray that you'll be with the doctors and the medicine that she's taking, that she'll be able to get over that quickly. And we thank you, Father, that Brenda's cataract surgery went well, and pray that will continue to be so as she goes for that final cataract surgery soon. We also lift up Adam to you as he's getting ready to go overseas, and pray that you'll give him a safe journey there and back. And Father, we always honor Carol Ann's